Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we need you. Oh, Lord, you know how we need you. And I just pray that what we do and say today will bless somebody. Most of all, you, Lord. I want you to be blessed by what we do and say. Lord, every good father enjoys and is blessed by the obedience of his children, by the good report from his children. And Lord, we just want to do and say everything in line with a good report, everything in line with obedience. Lord, we would walk and talk the way we're supposed to walk and talk. Lord, it's like the old boy used to pray, Lord, we need to walk upright and spit white. And Lord, that's what we want. That's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More than anything in the world, I want you folks to recognize the Holy Spirit. I want you to be able to feel the Holy Spirit. He's real. Anybody that's real can be felt. Here, touch me. Touch me. Touch me. You feel that? I felt it. I felt you because you're real. You feel me? It's because I'm real. The Holy Spirit is for real. He's for real. He's a person. And he wants to touch his children. He wants to touch his... The Holy Ghost wants you to feel. Anybody ever feel goosebumps in church? Well, that's okay. You're supposed to. Yeah, well, that's part of it. That's not near all of it, but that's part of it. He has other ways of touching too. He can touch you by making you cry. He can touch you by making you laugh. Ha ha ha. He can touch you by revealing truth to you. He can touch you by having one of his other children touch you. Okay. I have sermon preparation notes, and I also have breakfast last minute notes. Well, boy, Lord, I really want you to know him. I really want you to know him. We know about him by learning his word. We know who he is in reality by being his word to others. And I believe the Holy Spirit gave me some nuggets. One of them has to do with married people. Anybody here married? Are the kids all upstairs? Everybody, all the kids here are pretty mature, right? Yeah, all the kids pretty mature. I can talk plain. I mean, I'm not going to talk as plain and graphic as your teacher at school, but I may talk plain. If you're somebody here needs what I'm about to say. Some of you don't need it at all. It's just icing on the cake. But somebody needs to get a hold of what I'm about to say. A good marriage, Lord, you sure you want me to do that? A good marriage needs something sexy in it every day. Now, I didn't say a good marriage needs to have sex, you know, movie style every day. No, I said a good marriage needs something sexy in it every day. We're driving down the road Thursday morning, and we're on Highway 191 headed south. And we get down there just south of the prison entrance about Leak Road, and my wife reached over. I had my hand over on the armrest like this. She reached over and put her hand on my hand. Now, she has a dozen different ways of touching my hand. But Thursday morning, about 9 o'clock, she touched my hand in a sexy way. Now, if you had been observing from the back seat, you wouldn't recognize it from any other touch. But I recognized it because I know what her sexy touch feels like on the inside. And the Lord is telling you this morning that are married or about to get married that you need something sexy in your life every day. If you don't provide a sexy touch, whether it be the touch of a kind word, the touch of a look in the eye, or a touch on the hand going down the road. There's a lot of ways to touch. But if you don't provide something sexy for your spouse every day, the devil will bring someone along that will provide something sexy for you, and you'll be looking into the eyes of someone you shouldn't be looking into the eyes of. And you can blame the devil, you can blame the girl across the counter, you can blame all kinds of people. But part of the blame may be because you haven't been providing for your spouse by giving them a little sexy touch every day. I don't know why I said, I do know why I said this, because the Holy Spirit was ministering this to me. And He wanted me to share it with you. Husbands, wives, this is for everybody. You need to provide for your spouse so the devil won't have to. Maybe I should say, you need to provide for your spouse so the devil won't find opportunity to make that provision in your place. Lord, I did it. It went a rotten tomato. I don't usually do things like that on purpose. I just do it when I have to. We need the touch of the people we love. Not only spouses, but children. We need the touch of our child. Our child needs the touch of the parent. It may just be a bump on the shoulder. But we need to touch one another. Sisters, it doesn't mean like this. That's better than nothing. I'd rather be hit by someone that loves me than ignored. Oh my. Oh my. I was sharing with Barbara earlier this morning that I have notes for 5 sermons that I've been working on all week, this past week. And I don't know just how much is going to run together, how much will be separate. I don't know. I'm just going to dive in and swim. Sometimes the clarity of what the Lord wants me to share with you comes as I bring it. But I want to start reading to you from Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be in the NLT. NLT's New Living Translation. It's one of our new easy read Bibles. I was raised on the older King James, not the oldest King James, but what they call the King James Version. I was raised on that, so I think like that. And I can read it to myself 90 miles an hour, but if I try to read it to you, the words get tangled up on my tongue. So I'm going to read to you from the NLT because it's the language we speak right now. Let's start with verse 1. We got it. Going to get it on the screen this morning. There you go. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Whoa. Paul the Apostle is writing this in the form of a letter to the Roman church. His letter was to exhort and to teach, to correct and to guide. He starts out this chapter calling everyone dear. Brothers and sisters, Paul cared for his churches. He cared about his people. And he's pleading. He's pleading. You know, we could give our bodies to a lot of different things. We're supposed to give them to God. God wants your spirit. He wants your soul. You know, your mind, your heart. He wants these things. But if that's all he has no instrument in his hands. He has no tool therewith to reach the world. In order for God to reach the world, whether it's the world you work in, the world where you go to school, or the world in Africa or wherever, for Him to reach the world, He must have more than your mind and your heart and your soul and your spirit. He has to have your body. If you'll think for just a second, why does the devil hate our bodies so much and try so hard to stop them? When you're sick in the bed, you're not on the mission field witnessing for Jesus. When you're sick in the bed, you're not at the job witnessing for Jesus. When you're sick in the bed, you're not down at Safeway witnessing for Jesus. If the devil could put every Christian sick in the bed, he'd be happy. God wants your body presented to Him. So how many times have we given our heart? Lord, I give my heart to You. You know, every time the preacher preaches his sermon and every time the altar call is given, we wear out our rededicator every Sunday. We wear it out a little more, rededicate it. Read it. Well, come on, keep doing that. But let's have an end result of giving our body. You know, we just need to put our body on the altar. Use me, Jesus. Oh, my. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of what? Of all He has done for you. We just did Holy Communion in remembrance of the Lord's crucifixion, His sacrifice. I mean, that alone should rattle our cage enough to say, I'm giving my body to Jesus. Lord, use me. Wherever you want to use me, however you want to use me, Lord, here I am. Use me. Just the remembrance of the crucifixion should put us in that mode of, use me, Jesus. He adds here, let them, speaking of our bodies, let our bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Evidently, there are sacrifices that are not acceptable, if He makes the point here that there are sacrifices that are acceptable. I want my body to be a living sacrifice acceptable to Him. Everybody say, me too. And He goes on to say, this is truly the way to worship Him. How many know we put a lot of emphasis on worship? Okay, I know I don't look like Nina by any means, but I'm going to take her place. Is this where you were standing this morning? Okay, I'm Nina. Now, what if Nina said, everybody, we're going to worship the Lord now. I don't want anybody to use your body. Okay, go ahead and worship. Remember, I'm Nina. I'm telling you, go ahead and worship, but don't use your body. Go ahead. You're not doing anything. Okay, let's ask you a question. Do you need your body to worship? This is elementary. It needs to be taught at the local university. He says at the very end, in the last verse, the last sentence, we'll call it, in verse 1, is this is truly the way to worship Him. How is the way to worship Him? By giving our bodies a living sacrifice. Denise got up this morning and opened the service talking about sometimes we don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. Sometimes we don't feel like, you know. Well, that's a good opportunity to give my body as a sacrifice. Body, wake up and sacrifice a little bit. Let's go on. Number 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You mean the way I think has to do with being transformed? Paul, in verse 1, was talking a whole bunch about the body. All of a sudden, he jumps over to think, the think tank. They tell me that everybody that is serving time in jail was thinking the wrong thing too long, and it dropped down in their hands and their feet, and they did it. And now they're in jail. That's what they tell me. What we think has so much to do with what we do and who we are and how we affect our world. And the world wants us to think like the world, which is going to hell in a handbasket as fast as it knows how. The devil wants us to think like the world because they think negative. Even when they think positive, it comes out negative. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into the new person, a new person, by changing the way you think. And then, everybody say then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If we think right, we'll find God's will. All of a sudden, I learned something. I just visualized a person coming to me and saying, "Brother, I just can't seem to find God's will for my life." And I saw myself responding, "Well, then you may be thinking wrong." Because the word says here that if I think properly, I'll think according to the will of God. Are you still with me? Now we see that the will of God is good and pleasing and perfect. Number three. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, Paul is speaking. He says, I want to give you this warning. Paul has authority from the Lord. He has a privilege of speaking under that authority. Interesting there. Paul considered his ministry a privilege. And he understood it as a ministry of authority. That puts a really heavy weight on anybody that wants to be a preacher. And he says, I want to give each of you, that means all of you, by the way. Everybody say, each means all. And that means you. It means you. I give you, each of you, this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Huh. I imagine that has a cousin named Pride and another cousin named Arrogance. Another cousin named Know-It-All. And he goes on and says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Now he's talking to us about evaluating ourselves, Mitch. I have no problem with evaluations when they sound good. But a lot of people evaluate other people. You see, I tend to evaluate Mitch based on where I'm at. I put myself as the signpost, as the benchmark. And if you don't add up and come up to par and add up to the benchmark that I've set for myself, then I think you're not quite there yet. You see, I only smoke 2 cigarettes a day and you're still smoking 4. You're going to go to hell. Because you're not, I evaluated you and you're not up to par. See, we've got to have some kind of benchmark. We've got to have some kind of. And so we, you know, my first thought is, well, let's evaluate everybody according to the word of God. Yes, but let's evaluate everybody by how spiritual they are. Yep, but look at what it says. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, not Mitch. Measuring yourself, not Mitch, by the faith God has given us. I have no right to evaluate Mitch because Jesus said, don't judge him. So if I'm evaluating him, I'm wrong in the first place. I am, therefore, wrong by evaluating them. But I need to evaluate someone, and his name is Calvino. Yours truly. God wants me to evaluate me, and the measuring stick is not how many cigarettes I smoke every day. The measuring stick is my faith. Did you read that? Come on, help me out. Evaluation, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by what? The only person that I can legally, so to speak, evaluate is me, and my measuring stick is called my faith that God gave me. And so I need to look at my life and say, how big of a mountain have I moved lately? What Paul is saying here, you guys are wanting to judge somebody? Look in the mirror. You guys wanting to judge one another? Look in the mirror and use as a measuring stick for your evaluation your faith that God gave you. What are you doing with the faith God gave you? What are you doing with the talents God gave you? Remember the parable that Jesus had of the talents? You know, he gives the guy 5 talents. The guy goes out and he does well with them, multiplies them, brings 10 back. And the Lord says, well done, thou faithful servant. Guy, he gives the guy 2 talents. Guy goes out and works hard and he multiplies the talents, brings back 4. And the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Another guy gives 1 talent to, and the guy goes out and hides it. The Lord comes back in on accounting day and says, where's your evaluation? Where's your talents? You know, what did you do with what I gave you? And you go, well, I buried it, Lord. We need to measure ourselves based on what we're doing with our faith that God gave us. One song says, "It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Anybody else want to help us? I looked at this and I looked at it again and I meditated on this and I meditated on it again and I talked to Barbara about it. You know, we bounce stuff off of each other all the time. And I began to get under conviction because I realized God has given me a lot of faith and I've just kind of been piddling along with it when I need to be moving mountains. And in my own evaluation, using my faith that God gave me as a measuring stick, I realized I'm coming up short and I got to get off of my backside and start moving by faith. There's a world to be reached for Jesus. There's churches to be built. There's saints to be gathered in and edified. There's souls to be saved, Reuben, bodies to be healed. And we got to get off of our, come on, everybody say it, backside and use our faith. He didn't give us faith just so we could look at the mountain and say, "Boy, it's going to take a lot of faith to move you." Well, I'm glad God gave me all this faith because that's a big mountain. No, just bear up. Rise up. Gird up your loins, as the old Bible said. And run to that mountain. And if the mountain don't get out of your way, run right up on the top of it and stomp on its head. I was sharing with you about a month ago along this line how the Holy Spirit showed me how that moving the mountain sometimes means you get on top of it. And you say, well, the devil would say, well, the mountain's still there. And you could say, yeah, but look who's on top of it. It's no longer in my way. If I'm on top of the mountain, it's not in my way. If I'm standing on top of the mountain, it's not in my way. And any direction I go is downhill. Let it coast, baby. Let it coast. And so sometimes we move the mountain by making it disappear. Sometimes we move the mountain by overcoming it. But we need to evaluate the faith that God gave us and think about, what mountains have I moved lately? Now it's interesting. The more we grow in faith, the bigger the mountains get. But the interesting part of that is, they actually look smaller as time goes on. The mountains I face now are far bigger than they've ever been before, but they look smaller because I've grown in faith. And faith learns to overcome. Are you still with me? Wow. Okay. Be honest in the evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. For the sake of time, I want to drop down to verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Now, I'm going to change this. I'm not changing the word of God. I'm changing the wording to make it fit better into your lifestyle and mine. Let's not pretend just to love others. Let's really love them. Let's hate what they're doing wrong and hold tight to what is good in them. I don't think I messed up the word of God with that. I need to hate the sin in you. I'm using you. You know that. I'm just using him, okay? He's my prop in the drama. I need to hate the sin in you, but I need to love what's dear in you. And I'm not supposed to just pretend to love you. I'm supposed to really love you. Genuine love. Genuine love will come up beside you and say, "Let me help you with that problem. Because I want to hold you dear. I don't want to lose you because of this sin. I want you to be held dear to me. I want to salvage you out of that sin." It's very important for us to hate sin because God hates sin. It's very important for us to love the sinner because God loves the sinner. But it's real hard sometimes as Christians because we just get real judgmental sometimes and we judge and evaluate people using the wrong measuring stick. It's funny how God knows what's in my heart and you don't. And I need to remember that God knows what's in your heart and I don't. And just because you're acting like a dummy doesn't mean you are one. And just because you're acting in ways you shouldn't be acting, don't mean you are one. Because in the heart, there's something pure and holy and wholesome and good and something worth salvaging. And we need to hold tightly to what is good. There's something good on every inside. Now I'm not going to use him, I'm going to use you. There's something on the inside of you that I need to hold tight, baby. I need to get in my pocket. I know your sister could tell me some things. Yeah. But there's something good in there, and it's worthy of being held tight. I just want to put all of you down it right down in there. Where am I? Did anybody know where I am? Number 10. Let's go with that. Number 10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And then he gets over on this for whatever reason. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. It's interesting here that he ties work hard hand in hand with serving the Lord. That's sweet. Number 12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. It's okay to take each other out to lunch. Practice hospitality. Interesting here where he says, be patient in trouble and keep on praying. I want to share something with you that I heard the Holy Spirit say to me last night and the night before. And I shared it last night with Barbara in part. And I said, honey, I feel like great big answers are on the way. And I said, because we can't keep praying in faith and something not happen. Some of us are believing for some great big miracles. And some of us have been believing for these miracles for a long time. Well, we can't just keep praying for these things and nothing happen. If we keep on praying in faith, something's going to happen. And I could feel it in the air. In the last two evenings, I could feel it in the air. Big answers getting ready to drop in our laps. I mean, grab a hold of that, baby. Grab a hold of it. You need it. Don't put it off till next Sunday. Say, Lord, I want those big answers in my life now because now's when I need them. Everybody say, God won't be late. Let's just read on a little bit. Verse 14 says, bless those that persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy. Remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Remember that? Wish I knew the rest of it. Well, okay, let's go on, go on, go on. Be happy with those that are happy. I can't believe that says it. You have to know the song to know why I'm giggling. Be happy with those that are happy. Weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. You know, we just need to be regular old fellas and gals. Just regular folk. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. Connie, you're laughing at my singing. You are too. You're laughing at my singing. Just for that, I'm going to sing some more. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. So let's go hand in hand and skip along and be free. I'm telling you, it's time to be happy. You know, you've heard me tell this a dozen times, so I'm going to tell it 13. Barbara's dad used to tell the story about the little boy that was petting the old mule with a long face. And he's petting that old mule and he's saying, oh, Mr. Mule, you must be such a fine Christian because your face is so long. It's time for Christians to be happy. We don't need to be a mule-faced Christian. Look at somebody and say, shorten your nose. Don't think you know it all. Because you don't. Ooh. Number 17, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. And do all that you can to live in peace with everyone except that guy over there. Oh, live in peace with everyone? Oh, you couldn't mean that, Lord. Dear friends, verse 19, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge and I'll pay them back, says the Lord. If somebody needs a payback, let God do it. He can do it far, far better than me and you. And that way we don't hurt their feelings. Let God hurt their feelings. Number 20, instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And number 21 says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Go to 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. You conquer and overcome evil with good. If you try to conquer and overcome evil with more evil, you have doubled the evil. The only way that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth finally works is when you run out of eyes and teeth. Because as long as one of you still got an eye or a tooth, there's still evil taking place. Revenge is still happening. As long as you've got eyes or teeth, you're going to be getting it or giving it. And so it won't work until you run out of eyes and teeth. So don't go with eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. No, you overcome evil with good. I read a tract one time. A fellow was in the army, and he'd get on his knees and pray every day. Every night before he'd go to bed, he'd get on his knees and pray in the bunk. And his army buddies would laugh at him and make fun of him and tell jokes about him and whistle at him. And finally, he'd just keep on praying. So finally, they started throwing their shoes at him. He thought, I'm going to throw those shoes back. And he said, no, I'll think again. And he gathered up their shoes, and he polished them real pretty. And he spit shined them and polished them, and he took them back. He says, here's your shoes. Now, had he kept throwing shoes, it wouldn't have worked until they all run out of shoes. And because they're throwing them back and forth, they'd never run out of shoes. So the fight goes on forever and ever. Amen. But he put an end to the fight by overcoming evil with good when he polished their shoes. Let me see. These need to be polished. Mitch is over. He's rubbing those boots on his pants. Did you find 13:8? Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you'll fulfill the commandment, the requirements of God's law. Wow. Wow. For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Verse 11. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night's almost gone, and the day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Verse 14. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Verse 14, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to the first of this sermon. The reason I want so much for you to know the Holy Spirit, the reason I have such a longing for you to know the Holy Ghost personally, is so you can be clothed with the presence. I want you to be hungry for the presence. I want you to snuggle up under the presence. The reason we focus so much on praise and worship and we try to get you to move over there into that place is so you'll be clothed with the presence. Oh, I want you to be clothed. I mean, put it on like a robe. Clothed with the presence. Clothed. I want this so much for you. I want it for our church. I want it for all of you. I want it for every visitor that comes in the door. I want them to walk in that door for the first time and feel like somebody put a coat on them. And they say, what is that? It feels like Jesus is in here. Feels like God's in the house. That's the whole purpose of doing what we do and not doing what we don't do. And that's the whole purpose of trying to get you to walk right and spit white. Now, if you never chewed tobacco, you don't know what that means. Smell his breath. See if he's still chewing. It'll smell like wintergreen. The presence. If we can just get under the presence, everything is going to be okay. When I'm under the presence, I don't judge you. When I'm under the presence, I don't even care what you say about me or if you decide to judge me. It don't matter. When I'm under the presence, I don't care what people think about me, how they look at me. I don't care what they say about me. When I'm under the presence of the Holy Spirit, when I feel Jesus Christ wrapping his arms around me, when I'm under his presence, it don't matter how they look at me in church. So I want everybody to get under the presence. And under the presence, we don't judge one another. We don't... You know what I mean. Please stand to your feet. Well, I got most of one of those five sermons taken care of. We'll work on the rest of it later. Close your eyes, please. Precious Heavenly Father, we love you, we love you, we love you, and we want to love you more. We want to love you more, Lord. We want to be clothed with this presence. We want to feel your touch because you're real. You're not a Jesus dead on the cross. You're real. You're not a Jesus of 2,000 years ago. You're a Jesus of now. And your very life force in the form of the Holy Spirit is with us now, sent by you to comfort and to teach, to guard and to guide. You're really here with us. You really are. You're here with us. And Lord, I pray that we will begin to recognize your precious presence and honor that presence. We'll lay aside those things that need to be laid aside and hold dear those things that need to be held dear. We'll let you cut off those things that would hinder us and graft onto us those things that will bear fruit in our life. Oh, precious Lord, we love you so much. And we just really want to draw close. We want to draw close. We want to feel. Lord, any way you want to touch us, that's the way we want to feel you. In whatever way you would touch us today, we just invite that. We embrace you. We embrace your touch. We open our arms and we open our hearts and we say, yes, Lord, touch me. Change me. Cleanse me. Adjust me. Correct me. Discipline me. Bless me. Grow me. Edify me, strengthen me, heal me, redeem me, Save me, Lord Jesus. All that I need is wrapped up in you. And by faith, I receive all my blessing. By faith, I receive all that you would do with me in behalf of others. By faith. By faith. Oh, I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. If there's anybody that needs prayer today, we just would like to join with you in prayer. Oh, we just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit that's here. Oh, we just worship you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your presence that's so rich in this place, that clothes us, that covers us, that we feel hovering over us. Oh, le keisho marinda lera buande le moata neyo she. Oh, la kariumba haliashe la bonai. Oh, just ask the Lord right now in your own way. Clothe me, Father, with your presence. Let me feel your presence as a warm cloak about me. That your presence cover me and wrap around me today. Father, I want to be just wrapped in your presence. Wrapped in your presence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we decree the will of God. On the mountains, these feet will run. On the mountains, these feet will carry the good news. On the mountains, these feet will run. Like the young deer, like the hart. These mountains will leap over them. These feet will leap over the mountains and run across the mountains with the good news. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. These feet have been conditioned and prepared for such a time as this. And they're about to be released to run across the mountains with the good news. And these feet are beautiful in the sight of the Lord. For even as His word has declared, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that bear good news. These feet are blessed of the Lord, called of God. And these feet will soon be free. Even now, by faith, they are free. Even now, they are beginning to exercise their freedom. Even now, the chains and the shackles have been shaken off. And even now, we decree their freedom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just begin to sing to the Lord in your own special way. You can sing with your voice. You can sing with your heart. Out loud or on the inside, but just begin to sing to the Lord. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. You are so precious. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, precious Savior. Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. Precious Lord. Reach over, put your touch someone, put your hand on their shoulder or take them by the hand. And love that person. To love Jesus is to love His body. To love His body, we love one another. To love His body, we even love ourselves. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. This is also communion, holy communion, when we partake of one another in fellowship, in love, in care, in meaningful relationship of brotherly love. We love our brothers, we love our sisters, we love one another in holiness and purity. We love one another the way God loves us, without restraint, holding dear that must be held dear. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With those that are praying, please feel free to pray as long as you want. If you need to stay at the altar and pray a while, you just do that. But we're going to also have communion together by eating and drinking with one another. And we're just going to enjoy the food that we've prepared for one another and the labors of love. And Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together as a family. We thank you for the opportunity to break bread together, to drink the wine of joy and gladness together. Lord, in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm, we just enjoy one another so much. We enjoy your presence that clothes and embraces each and every member of your body, Lord. We love you so much. And we love one another so much. And Lord, we pray your special blessing upon the natural food that we'll eat today. That our bodies will be strengthened and brought to health. And that we'll be strong and do exploits in the name of the Lord in every realm of life. May your face shine brightly upon this people and upon those, Lord, that didn't make it today. those that have to work or might be sick or those that are at some other place, Lord, we just bless them. We bless our church family. And our hearts are with them because we care about them. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for today. We'll give about 50 people a big hug and a kiss, and let's just go to the dining room and let our fellowship just continue to flow. Please stay if you can. God bless you. I was getting ready to go put my boots on, and he walked up with them.
You knelt down, and you got a great big hole in the bottom of one sock.
Well, good.
It was funny.